Good afternoon. Again, I'm Grace Ragland from Louisiana State University, and today I'd like to talk to you all about creating ADA-compliant print and digital extension publications. So to preface my presentation a little bit, I've been working over the course of the last year on a publication at LSU under the direction of Dr. Ed Bush, and through that process and beginning writing my publication, I understood that LSU was facing some new mandates, that all of their content on a lot of their platforms, like their website and Moodle moving forward, have to be ADA compliant. And at the time, I really didn't know what that meant, and so I decided to research that thoroughly and try to apply it to my paper in order to give you this presentation today. So the Americans with Disabilities Act is a federal law that was created in 1990, and it's basically a law that is trying to protect disabled or impaired users from being discriminated against based on their impairment. And so complying with this law is just cooperating with what I'm going to talk to you about today and applying it in your industry to ensure that the user that is impaired has the same opportunity that the general population has. And I would like to focus on two of the Title Act laws. Title II and Title III protect impaired users from being discriminated because of their impairment from a government entity and also a private business that might have some public outreach involved. So this would protect them from being discriminated based on the fact that they might not be able to hear or see any outreach or information that's given to the public. And again, Louisiana State University is one of hundreds of universities and colleges around the country that has been met with complaints and lawsuits and litigation that the information that they have available is not equally accessible to all users. And so I think that extension publications are a great platform to apply the care and the focus that we need to make something accessible to all users. My document in particular was meant for the general at-home user to focus on their own garden, and just because you're visually or hearing impaired or have any impairment doesn't mean that you don't deserve the same amount of care and focus on understanding that information. And so I worked to research and understand what are these ADA accessibility standards that everyone's talking about. I didn't know them. And apply them to my paper and think about ways to go above and beyond what I found out was necessary to make something compliant and think about the future of ADA accessibility and truly focusing on giving everyone an equal experience. And so I'm talking today about Adobe Acrobat Pro or DC. It's probably what most people use right now to view a PDF on their computer. And Adobe has created a platform within that to check the accessibility of your document. So you can actually run a check, and it will tell you in what areas you're strong in accessibility standards and in what area you might need to manually check and decide for yourself, are you compliant or are you not? Will this be accessible to everyone? And so you can see on the screen what you are probably used to seeing when you open a PDF. And I'd like to point out that in the tools panel, you can add an accessibility tool. You will click that tool with the document that you'd like to check open, and you will run a full check of that document. And ultimately, Adobe will give you a panel that will come up on the screen after you press save, and it will tell you with green checks and red X's or a question mark in what areas it has found that you are compliant and in what areas you need to go back and check on your own and manually make sure that you are meeting these standards. And so the compliant guidelines that I'm going to try to get through today are some of the areas that the accessibility checker is checking through Adobe and some of the things that you can take on manually with a few other programs and check at your own discretion. So the first of which is color contrast. And color contrast is really important for the general population that is not impaired as well as a visually impaired person. And for a rule of thumb, you want to stick with a 4.5:1 ratio, and that ratio is comparing a foreground color to a background color. And so Color Contrast Analyzer is a free tool that you can download. It'll be on your desktop. And basically, it gives you the capability, you can see in the image at the bottom, to check with an eyedropper tool. You will just scroll over your image, click, black, in this case, one of the fruits or vegetables, and then orange, which is one of the background colors. And at the bottom, you can see that it will tell you if you've passed or failed for small text, large text, or an image. And if you see that there is a red X next to any of those, it gives you the potential early on in the process of creating images to change those colors to make them above a 4.51 ratio. And then the font within a paper is also very important. For the font, which is the typeface that you're using, and also the typography, which is how all of the fonts in the paper are used collectively, you're looking for very clean and simple, streamlined groupings of fonts. And the larger is better. That's for a general user or an impaired user. And again, avoiding using multiple fonts, uppercase, italicizing, or boldness in a body paragraph is really critical because it's hard to focus on and it's much harder to flow through the paragraph easily. And especially for web design, I'd like to point out that animated text or anything that's floating on and off the screen is especially hard for a visually impaired person to focus on and grasp that information. And the format of the paper, everyone knows, is important. And the hierarchy is most easily and visually understood through headings. And that's a visual cue that the information is about to change or that you're going into a subcategory within the body paragraphs. And it is important to visually use that significant cue that something is changing topics. So at the bottom, you can see the title is the largest, and then the introduction, because that is the first information that you're coming on in the paper, is larger than the author's names because it is more important. And that's very important for people to understand what comes next. And along with that is the tagging order, which is a capability that Adobe Acrobat provides. And basically, in the pictures I showed you earlier, when you open your document and you're in the accessibility panel, you have the opportunity to tag each individual entity within the paper. So you can tell Adobe if it's looking at a title, if it's looking at a paragraph, if it's looking at an image. And this is important because Adobe can read what it's looking at on the screen in an audio version for someone that is visually impaired. And so it helps the flow of that reader's voice to easily understand that they're moving from a heading, for example, into a body paragraph and have proper pauses in between those words. And another capability that you can do in Adobe Acrobat is adding alternative text, which is very similar to a caption, but it differs because alternative text is a text that you would manually add by clicking the image. And it's the words that when a screen reader is reading the paper, when it gets to an image, it will speak what you have manually input as a caption, basically. But you will not visibly see it in the formatting of the paper. And when the paper reaches its endpoint on the internet, that information is maintained within the PDF. And so when someone downloads it, it can be read to them. It's very important. And I'd also like to say, if you're creating any content with a video that has audio involved, it's important to consider closed captioning also for anyone that is hearing impaired to be able to read the audio that is being spoken. And a table of content or an index is an also important portion of a publication. As a normally cited reader would do, we can skim and find the information that we're interested in looking at instead of reading the paper in its entirety. And so for someone that is visually impaired and being read with a screen reader the paper, if there is a table of content or an index, they can just listen to that and very easily navigate to the information that they're looking for within the paper. And very similarly, the navigation of a table and graph, which many extension publications have, it's important to denote not only that the table within the document is a table for the screen reader, but also to point out and manually input what is a heading, what is a column, and what is a row. And this is because the screen reader will read the position of the cell before the content of the cell, again, for a visually impaired person to be able to easily navigate and get to the information that they're looking for in that table or graph. And lastly, The save as component of making an extension publication, especially when it's going to be on a digital platform, it's important to save them as an interactive PDF when possible. A flattened PDF will not maintain the information that I've talked about today that you're manually adding, making it harder for Adobe Acrobat or any other programs to read the information on the screen fluidly. And so in horticulture, I think that there are many applications, and even in the agency and extension offices, there's the opportunity to have labels in the offices that are Braille, and like I handed out, there's the opportunity to have the option to print your publications in Braille for users to be able to have tangibly. And again, everything that I've mentioned today really applies to how the digital component of your paper can be used on the web. And so some research that's going on at LSU, I think, is the future of how ADA compliance can be better for all. And that's a tactile graphic. So this is a construction document printed with a Braille legend and tangible tactile floor plans for a visually impaired or blind person to be able to understand spatially what the floor plan of a black and white construction document would look like that they cannot see. And get that information to the client successfully. And so overall, compliance can be met at a lot of different levels, to be honest, but we have the capability to meet and especially exceed these standards, and I think we can do a lot of exceeding in the horticulture and agricultural arena. And I think that writers thinking about ADA compliance from the beginning of the process with their publication will ultimately, in the future, make your publication process go a lot more smoothly, as you won't have as many hang-ups when it's being checked by the university or the extension agency. And what I found through this process is that creating accessible documents really forces us to be stronger researchers and writers, because we have to be very descriptive but also very concise. And able to get the same information across in a lot of different ways, and that taking responsibility as the writer has a greater outcome by the time that it gets to editing and the publication process. Here are some sources that you could refer to get a little more information on what I've talked about today, my references, my acknowledgments. Thank you. I can take some questions. Yes.
So
the question was, did I write the paper and then remediate it to make it accessible, or was I working on that along the way? And to be honest, in this case, it was a little bit of both. I had only begun writing some of the body text of the paper when I met with the publisher up front, because I found out that LSU, like a lot of colleges, has mandates right now that really in the next semester or two, all of their new content has to be accessible. And so I worked with our publisher at the extension office, and they knew a little bit of the puzzle, and I researched a little bit more through some of the technology centers around campus, and so it was back and forth. I had written some, and then I completed it, knowing the standards. Yes.
So did you find that there were specific issues to horticulture, as far as because you're a very visual discipline? So were there specific issues the publication that you were doing?
The question was, were there any specific difficulties or issues because of the horticultural nature of the information and the graphics? Yes and no. In ways, at LSU, to be honest, no department knew very much about creating something that was ADA compliant. It's a big issue because of so many courses having their content on Moodle. And especially, I graduated in landscape architecture, so most of what we work on is graphics. And it is somewhat difficult to think about how you could 3D print them or have them brailled in ways. But what I've learned is that, honestly, anything could be made into a tactile graphic. You might just have to restructure it a little bit and make sure that you have Braille legends and information that corresponds to what you are showing in 3D for someone to tactilely understand. Thank you.